Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It is time now for the bigger picture. And we're looking at all the major Asian markets up this morning following Wall Street's lead. Only Hong Kong's Hang Seng futures are pointing lower. And it's significant because all this is China set to vote on its controversial national security law on Hong Kong, and that's happening later today.
Yeah, so there's a huge focus on this. In response, the Trump administration says it can no longer certify Hong Kong's political autonomy from China. And the U.S. had voted to authorize sanctions against Chinese officials for human rights abuses against Uyghurs, which has increased already these fraught tensions between the two countries.
So you look at the back of all this, right? You've got oil futures already taking a tumble. And then at the same time, over in Europe, you've got the European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde saying the euro area economy faring far worse than hope. Output set to shrink, like what, between 8 and 12%.
Yeah, it's a really grim warning, isn't it? And the European Union has unveiled this 750 billion euro or 826 billion US dollar coronavirus recovery program. It's big, it's unprecedented.
So many issues to talk about. And helping us out this morning on The Bigger Picture is Sunny Hubbard, Director for Wealth Management at Financial Alliance. Sunny, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time. So U.S.-China tensions, day by day, it's increasing. And now you've got the Trump administration saying it can no longer certify Hong Kong's political autonomy from China. The U.S., of course, has voted to authorize sanctions against Chinese officials for human rights abuses against Uyghurs. How's the market reacting?
Well, it's a growing list. It's the situation of Hong Kong. It's the trade tensions. It's also, I remember, in Capitol Hill, they're going to pass a bill requiring Chinese companies to be more transparent with regards to holdings and the conditions in those companies relating to the Chinese government. So it's really an accumulation of many things. And I think this is really all potentially connected to the upcoming election. Washington, or rather Donald Trump, has lost a lot of credibility with regards to the handling of the COVID crisis. So this may be one way he's trying to make it back with his voters ahead of the election. So it's really something we ought to look out for, because things could actually turn worse before it gets better.
Yeah, well, just digging a little bit deeper on Hong Kong. So China is set to vote on the Hong Kong security bill later today. Futures indicate that the Hang Seng will open lower. I mean, there's just so much swirling around this market right now. What are your thoughts on how this is being factored in?
Yeah, if you look at the situation, or rather the futures markets, even today itself, you see that most of the other Asian markets are up except for Hong Kong. That tells you, and this has been the case, that the Hong Kong situation has been more or less an isolated situation, hasn't really spilled over to the rest of the other regional or even global indices. However, if it's connected back to what I just mentioned, i.e. The U.S. situation with China overall as a package, it could actually factor in and start having an impact. But individually by itself, by right, there shouldn't be too much of a spillover.
All right, Sunny, let's turn our attention to oil. Obviously, that has seen oil futures tumbling on the back of these U.S.-China tensions. Heading into June, right, are we expecting potentially another downward trend for the commodity?
Well, I think oil is trying to find its footing. It's come off the teens that we saw a couple of weeks ago and now moved into the $30 area. That's a huge run-up. You know, by and large, it's a supply-demand situation. So on one hand, the unlocking of the various countries' economies is supporting demand. But on the other hand, supply still remains very much an oversupply situation. Remember that there's still a lot of supply sitting in oil tankers, in storages, onshore and stuff. So you really need to get rid of those before demand makes a real impact. So I think it's searching for this range, and I won't be surprised if it gets if the $30, $40 range is the top side for oil, and bottom is probably about 20.
Yeah, and we certainly got more figures on inventories overnight, didn't we? Let's move it on to the European Union. This is such an interesting story. So 826 billion US dollars or 750 billion euros of a coronavirus recovery program. Obviously, the European, this area is trying to claw its way back. It's been hit by the worst economic crisis in decades. European stocks definitely liked it, but what's your take on this massive, bigger than expected package that the European Union's trying to work out?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest takeaway from what was announced wasn't so much, I mean, it's a big package. I think it's wonderful. It was welcomed by the market. But the key thing, I think, is the fact that we have member countries within the European Union who were pretty much very frugal, and the Northern Europeans, whom was very difficult, including Germany, at the very beginning to try and get them to come together to loosen up on some fiscal discipline in order to support the weaker countries on the south side. So that unhinging of that situation probably is the key thing, because it could potentially lead to what we call future packages which are less more committed to very stringent fiscal discipline, which is what has been what we call a major hurdle in the EU, whereby because of its diversity within the bloc itself, they were unable to really adopt very, very strong fiscal measures. So this may be the start of what we call a more looser fiscal approach. And I think that's that's a key positive thing I take out from this package.
Sunny, final question for you. And yeah, it's kind of got to do with packages. On Tuesday, we got our fourth budget, the Fortitude budget that's meant to help jobs and, you know, SMEs and whatnot. We also had GDP numbers come out as well earlier this week. Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat warned yesterday of long-term challenges that the economy is facing. The words he used, challenges that need to be dealt with over the next 5 to 10 years. For you, Sunny, what are your expectations for Singapore growth after the recent downgrade?
You see, my view is that we're going into what we call a balance sheet recession. We've got a very highly leveraged economy, not only in Singapore, but the worldwide, where individuals, companies, private sector has been highly leveraged up because of low interest and huge amount of liquidity over the past 10 years. These companies and individuals, when they get any cash flow currently, either from the government, from anywhere else, it's going to be spent on reducing their liabilities, reducing their debt. Someone has to come in to take that slack that has been created by this, and that's the government. And that's why we've got package 1, 2, 3, 4, and then to the future, I won't be surprised if we get 5 and 6. So otherwise, the economy will have this shortfall because those that used to consume, i.e. either the corporations or individuals, are now more concerned about paying down liabilities. So someone has to come in to fill that gap, and that is why I think it will be challenging. There will be a restructuring of the economy. So, but my view is, at least for the next 2 years, it would be a tough situation, not only for Singapore, but for the rest of the world. But for Singapore, because of its good credit position, it's able to actually come up with all these budgets without hurting too much the overall credit worthiness of the country.
All right. We've been speaking with Sunny Hamid, Director for Wealth Management at Financial Alliance, on The Bigger Picture. Sunny, thanks for taking the time this morning. Take care and stay safe. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.